Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him. When they had heard the king, they went their way. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The time of this recording is the Feast of the Epiphany, January 6th, and it's a feast which brings to us once more the centrality of the birth of Jesus at this Christmas time. And every year I always like to recall on the Epiphany that when I was a kid I went to public school, and we used to have a Christmas pageant play every year, and no one had a problem with it, and I was King Melchior, and it was really awesome to be a king for the day. And I remember at the end of the pageant play, it was like I had a press conference, and all these people started taking these photographs of me, and in those days there was lots of flash photography, and I became very sensitive to the flashes, and I got sick soon after that because of that. When I was a baby though, in the pageant play that I would go to, I would play Jesus. And so when I became King Melchior, I felt like I was, it seemed like I was demoted. You know, I went from the King of the Universe as the baby Jesus to this obscure king from the East. It was probably a lot of politics going on that led to my demotion. Anyway, it was a special time when you see a pageant play. We just had a pageant play in one of my churches that I work at, and it really brings you into the heart of the Christmas mystery. And we want to stay with this mystery of Christmas because it's so important. In the Magi, the wise men, they bring these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Jesus. And some people have said that there may have been more than three. We say there are three because the Gospels announce that there are three gifts. But there could have been many more people there bringing these gifts to Jesus. They teach us, however, certain ways of living, of seeking the mystery of God that we can try to imitate. They give us a great example in the way they handle their own journey in life. And I want to point out a few of the things that they can do for us. One of the things that the wise men show to us is the need to make a great effort to encounter Jesus. They are seeking Jesus. That's the key for us to try to work on in our own lives, to look for the Lord Jesus. When we go to Mass, we go to encounter Jesus in the Eucharist. When we go to confession, we go to encounter the mercy of Jesus in the sacrament. When we go to any of the sacraments, when we go to the Bible, we're looking to encounter Jesus. This shows us the priority of our relationship to Christ. Because, you know, rather than being church people, we want to be followers of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes people will try to put the church above Jesus. And when they do that, they get disappointed very quickly. They'll say, I want nothing to do with the church because of all of the weaknesses of its members, the failed leadership in many, many situations. We have to keep Jesus as number one. On my Christmas Eve homily, I told a number of the children at the Mass that Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, Jesus is the reason for our effort to seek Him, our passing by the way of the Church. We seek Jesus in the Eucharist. And the wise men make great effort to encounter this great Lord, this great King Jesus. We got to make that effort too. We make that effort by going to the churches on Sunday and holy days. It's effort that is well worth it. We make that effort when we spend time in prayer. Another thing about the wise men that we ought to try to imitate is notice how they bring treasures to Jesus. We often do the opposite. We seek treasures from Jesus to us. We ask for so many gifts and blessings and from Him, and that's okay. But the wise men are working on a deeper level of religion. They're bringing treasures to Jesus, and we have to do the same. If we're smart, we come to realize that the treasures that we have in life right now are not material possessions and not money, even though those things are good and necessary. Our treasures are people, our families, our friends, all of the good relationships we have, all of the people that we've met along our life's journey that have made our life a little bit better. They are our treasures. And so these are our greatest treasures in our life's journey. We bring them to the Lord Jesus. How do we do that? Well, above all, by praying for them. You have to become a prayer warrior. That's someone who really prays for people. It's not enough to tell people that they're in your thoughts, that you're thinking of them, that they're in your prayers. You really, really have to pray for them. Honestly, it's more important to pray for people than to tell them that you're praying for them. It's good to tell them that because it kind of lifts their spirit. But praying for them is your way to bring them to Jesus, to bring your treasure to Jesus. In this regard, we also can think of the treasures that are no longer with us, the people who have died, people in our own lives that we have loved so much and have depended upon. In a way, we feel we depend upon them now and they're not with us, and it's hard for us. Sometimes Christmas each year becomes more and more sorrowful for us because we think of the loved ones we have had and needed so much who have died in that year. And we're kind of like, wow, here's another Christmas and they're not here now. And we can decorate our homes and that can almost be painful because we're like, boy, this is not the same Christmas as it was last year or the year before or many years ago. But we got to bring these treasures to Jesus. And I think it would be a really good thing at your home with your nativity scene to get little pictures of your loved ones who have died and put them around the nativity scene. You could probably even, with today's technology in certain places, make little figures of your loved ones who have died and put them in the nativity. And it's your way of bringing your treasure to Jesus. It's also a way to help you to realize that the mystery of their own death is something that Jesus is the Lord of, that He's all-powerful over. He's got more power than death itself. So bring all of your treasures to Jesus. It's like we say to Jesus, these were treasures You gave to us for a time, and we now give them back to You, and we ask You to be the Lord of these treasures, to redeem them for all eternity. And then you look at the wise men. Another thing they're good at that we want to imitate is they're good at letting things go. You know, they had that gold, frankincense, and myrrh with them for the whole journey, probably, and they let it go. They also had their own kingdoms where they had to let go of for a while on this journey. And who knows when they went back, maybe they weren't welcome. They had this ability to detach themselves from things in this world so that they could more fully encounter the mystery of Christ. And we can have things in our own lives that we need to let go of. First things we got to let go of are things that are not good. We got to let go of sin. We have to let go of bad habits, things that are not good for us or good for others. Perhaps it's the way we talk to others, the way we look at others. Maybe it's drinking too much alcohol or getting involved in drug use and things that are addictive that enslave us and rob us of our freedom. We got to let go of those things. We don't need them. And then we also need to learn how to let go of things that are good for us. In other words, we've got to live simply. Jesus, our Lord, is the King of the universe. He owns the whole universe, And he shows up in this world with swaddling clothes. That's all he has. He doesn't even own those clothes. They were given to him. So we have to live simply. I read a book years ago by a good psychologist, and he said that great material possessions and anxiety go hand in hand. If you've ever been to a poor country, or you know people who are poor but who are trying to work hard to make their lives better, they have a sense of happiness that often affluent people lack. I have some friends who are quite poor compared to other parts of the world, and I notice in them a real happiness to be in each other's company with their families and with their friends. When we live simply, we tend to see what's most valuable in life more clearly. We got to learn to let things go. But it seems that we tend to hold on to things a lot, and that can weigh us down if it's something bad, or it can really choke our spirit, even if it's something good, but we're too attached to it. The wise man, when they let go of their treasures, in a sense, they're more free on their journey. There's another thing about the wise man that we really should try to imitate, but it doesn't seem so obvious to us. But it's something that they do by a gift given to them by God. The wise men have a God-given ability to avoid people who are bad to the bone. People like King Herod. King Herod is really bad. He's murderous, he's jealous, he's violent, not a good person. And they were going to go back to him, but God gave him this dream and said, "You stay away from Herod." And that's something we have to try to imitate. I know that in our life's journey, from time to time, we encounter people who can be malicious, people who can be jealous of us, and they try to belittle us and bully us and hurt us, cause us pain and abuse us. And the wisdom of the wise men that was given to them by the Holy Spirit is to avoid them, to stay away from people who are going to hurt you. One of my good priest friends, Father Sammy Medley of Society of Our Lady of the Trinity, the Salt Community, he has this thing about this where he says that you need vitamin D, which is distance. That D stands for distance. And we might have people in our lives who hurt us, but we need to take that vitamin D. We can love them, but love them from a distance, maybe 100 miles away or 1,000 miles away or on the other side of a locked door, something like that. But you know, the wise man could have had many reasons why they thought they should have gone back to Herod. They could have said, well, out of respect, we should go back to him and see him. Or out of love and mercy, we should go back and see Herod. But if they had done that, Herod probably would have put them in prison and probably would have killed them. And who knows what would have happened about the mystery of Christmas. God tells the wise men, you stay away from this guy. We got to do the same thing. There's a lot of people in the world, especially young people, who think that it's a loving and respectful thing for them to associate with people who are hurting them, with people who are abusing them. And that abuse and that hurt and that pain can take many different forms. But you don't have to stay in that kind of a relationship. And it's okay to take that vitamin D and say, you know what, I need some distance from this person because they're so hurtful. I like that vitamin D. When I encounter people who are hurtful, who are malicious, who will lie and bully, I say, you know what, I'm out of here. I'm not going to be near this King Herod. The wise men didn't do it, neither am I. Well, that is kind of like a negative thing they do, but it's a good thing they do, avoiding someone who's going to hurt you. Now, the wise men in their actions show us so many things that we can try to imitate in our own lives. We should try to live by their wisdom, which comes from the Holy Spirit, to really seek Christ, to try to be his followers, to make effort to seek him. We should imitate the wise men when they learn to give their treasures to Jesus, especially our loved ones. We give them to Jesus by praying for them, and also by letting things go that really aren't good for us, and also avoiding people who are going to hurt us. That is going to put us on the same path of these wise men. They return home and they have no treasure with them, except they have the greatest treasure. They have this living relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the treasure worth living for. It's a treasure that lasts in our hearts for all eternity. God bless you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.